Welcome to the Harvest USA podcast, where we offer the transformative hope of the gospel to those impacted by sexual sin. Our passion is to equip the church to think biblically about God's design for sexuality, repentance, and life in Christ.
Welcome to Session 2. I'm Caitlin McCaffrey, Director of Women's Ministry for Harvest USA. I've had the honor of learning so many stories of women who needed a safe, Christ-centered place to get help for sexual sin. If that's you today, you may be feeling all kinds of emotions going into this course. Maybe fear, shame, or perhaps today you might be feeling hopeful for the first time in a while. My encouragement to you as we continue in the course is that God doesn't need you to have everything figured out, or even to feel like you're 100% ready to let go of sinful behaviors. But let me ask you, are you willing to look to Jesus for help and for hope? Are you willing to take the next small step in front of you today? Maybe that step for today is just watching this video and praying through the prayer points at the end of the video. Regardless of where you find yourself, it's my prayer that Ellen and I will be faithful companions to you as we look to Christ together. In this session, we have three key ideas to cover. Idea number one, why do we do the things that we do? Idea two, how does a biblical understanding of our hearts give us real hope for change? And number three, we're going to unpack our union with Christ as the foundation for our true identity. So let's jump in. Starting with our first key idea, a question that's asked in our ministry pretty often. Why do I do the things I do? And what about you? Have you ever grappled with that question? Have you ever done something and then later just wondered, what was I thinking? Maybe you're watching this video course because this question has been really painful for you. Maybe it feels even hopeless with no clear answer in sight. I want to read you some questions from real women who have sought help with us here at Harvest USA. Here's one quote. If I believe the Bible's teaching on sex outside of marriage, why do I keep crossing my own boundaries with guys? Or another woman said, I've never felt at home in my own body. Maybe I'm trans. Maybe I'm non-binary. Why do I feel the way I do? Or what another woman said, why can't I just control myself and not masturbate? I hate this habit. Or another, I don't really want to be involved with sex and sexuality. It seems gross to me. Maybe I'm asexual. Or what another woman said, I feel so confused by my own desires. I feel like I might be gay, but why would I be this way? I didn't choose this. And finally, one woman said this, I keep saying for the 100th time that I'm done with porn, but I always find myself going back to it again and again. Why can't I just stop? What about you? Do you find yourself in any of these questions? Friend, you are in good company. Christians for thousands of years have struggled with questions just like these. A well-known Christian named Paul asked these things as well. Now, these are complex questions to be sure, but part of our hope in Christ is that God actually speaks to us in his word about these deep issues of our hearts. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul cries out about this very thing, and he says this, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And then he goes on to say, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Then in just one final lament, He cries out, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Now, this might seem like doom and gloom, but there's actually real hope to be found here, because just in the same way that a high fever indicates your body is going to war with a virus, so does the sadness and perplexity you feel over your sexual sin point to the real life of God's Spirit battling within you. That same man, Paul, goes on to say this: "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Paul gives us some real encouragement in the midst of deep struggle. We can seek God's face as we battle our sin with no condemnation, none. This is how we engage the battle against sin without giving into just hopelessness or even despair. Now, we're going to talk more about what it means to be in Christ, fighting sin, and under no condemnation in this session. But I want to say this: it is a good thing if you're not at peace with your sin today. As a step towards your own sexual integrity, it's important to take a look beyond just your outward behavior. And that's actually what we're going to do together in this session. So let's go back to our original question. Why do we do the things we do, even when we desperately want to stop? Why do some of us struggle with anger and others with overeating? Where do sexual struggles even come from? Are we destined to just do certain things simply because of our upbringing, parental experience, or trauma? Let's look at our second key idea: how a biblical understanding of our hearts gives real hope for change. The Harvest USA tree model is an explanation of how human struggles, including those of a sexual nature, develop in our lives. And it's based on Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. The tree model also sheds light on how we can change through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel emphasizes how only Christ can bring change from the inside out by transforming us at a heart level. This is so important because Scripture always links behavior back to the human heart. So we're going to talk through each element of the tree model with an eye to understand how many complex factors are at play in each of us. Friend, you didn't just one day have the struggles that you have, but you've been slowly growing, changing, and bearing fruit just the same way that a tree would. The first part of the tree model is the fruit. The fruit represents our behaviors, our thoughts. Fruit is not always bad. Every Christian has both good fruit of the Spirit growing in their lives and alongside that, bad fruit of the flesh. The Christian life is really the process of ongoing repentance and change as we keep our eyes on Christ. Just like fruit on a tree does not grow overnight, our behaviors don't develop in a single day, and they don't change in a single day either. Next, the seed. The seed represents the human heart, which is the central place of our will and our decision-making. We live our lives from our hearts. Jesus said in Matthew 15 that out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. All of our behavior and thoughts come ultimately from our hearts, though there are many other factors that influence us, which leads us to the next part of the tree, the soil. The soil represents influences that are outside of our control, our experience of life in a fallen world, in a broken world that includes trials and blessings. These soil influences exert strong shaping power upon the heart. Soil influences could be things like our experience of family, our particular gifts and weaknesses, experiences of trauma, blessings that we might have, our particular body type, personality, and other things like mental health struggles. All of these can certainly exert a strong shaping influence, but thankfully, none of these things can make us do or not do certain things. How hopeful is that, that our circumstances do not determine for us 100% how our lives will go and the nature of our struggles with sin? But it's also very humbling to remember that each of us does have weaknesses and tendencies that have developed in part because of these unchosen influences in our lives. God is merciful towards you in these things that you didn't choose. Next, we have the roots. The roots represent our desires. These are God-given capacities to long for certain things. Things like the desire for love, affirmation, significance, pleasure, comfort, freedom from pain, control, and intimacy. And these are just a few of the desires we may have. These desires can be controlled by and submitted to God, or they can be driven by our sinful hearts. Our desires, to be sure, are not always sinful, yet they can motivate us in a direction towards what's pleasing to the Lord or towards disobedience. Our hearts are revealed in what our priorities are as we desire certain things and then go after them. And then the final element of the tree model is the trunk. The trunk represents our belief system or worldview, which describes what we really believe about ourselves, about God, about others, and really how life works. Now, it's not our spoken faith or our theology. It's our actual lived-out functional beliefs, which are manifested in the fruit of the tree, our behaviors, the things we actually do. It represents how we think life works. All of us have certain beliefs about life that we live out of. Things like, I'm worthless and undesirable. I'm just different from all the other women. I must avoid emotional pain at all costs. God only helps those who help themselves. Sex is power. Sex is dangerous. Men only want one thing. God is punishing me. Many of our beliefs do not align with the truth of God's word. And in humility, we have to seek to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, just like Romans chapter 12 says. So how does this relate to you? As you sit here, how can a biblical understanding of our desires, thoughts, behaviors, hearts, and experiences help you with your struggles with sexual sin? Well, I want to look at a story of a woman who had real faith, but she also struggled deeply with sexual sin. As you listen, follow along on your participant guide and see if you can identify the components of the tree model while you listen to her story. We'll call her Jen. Jen is a composite of women that we've ministered to at Harvest USA. So Jen's in her 30s and she works as a bookkeeper for a Christian missions organization. She grew up in a Christian home and says that she came to a saving understanding of the gospel somewhere in her teen years. But Jen has a secret that she is deeply ashamed of. She's had a battle with pornography use and masturbation since middle school, when she got her first smartphone. Her parents never talked to her about sex or porn, and she certainly never heard about this stuff in church. She wonders if anyone would accept her if they knew about this secret struggle. In fact, she's never even heard of a woman who struggles with pornography, let alone someone at her own church that she could confide in and confess her struggle to. Jen has a heart for missions. She has a really sweet humility. She enjoys serving in the kids' ministry at her church, and she so desperately wants to honor God, yet she feels like there's just a shadow of shame hanging over her all the time. When she gives in to temptation, she sometimes despairs and wonders if she's really a Christian at all. After all, why would a Christian struggle with pornography? For Jen, loneliness is a weekly discouragement. She thought by her age she would be married with a few kids, but instead she just feels left behind by her peers who are starting to move into that married with kids phase. Weekends are just hard for Jen. She longs to be known, to have a husband to enjoy life with. She desires a fulfilling life of sexual and relational intimacy with a man, and she wants to have a couple of cute kids filling her home. She struggles with thoughts like, there must be something wrong with me if guys just don't seem interested in me. Or maybe God's punishing me for my sexual sin struggles all these years. I mean, I really just deserve to be alone. Or thoughts like, why isn't God answering my prayers and delivering me from this struggle with porn? Now, Jen has had some painful experiences, particularly in her friendships. She sometimes feels like she's not meant for girl world because her female friendships seem to always blow up with drama and confusing pain. It's made her feel really hesitant to open up to her friends, even those who are closest to her. Jen reached out to Harvest USA because she heard about it from an event at her church. Though she feels very scared to talk about these things, to even name them before someone else, she knows she needs help. She just wants to understand how she got into this mess in the first place. So with a pounding heart, she told of her years-long struggle with porn. As shame-filled tears filled her eyes, she wondered, can anyone really help me? Maybe you can relate. Maybe you can relate to some of Jen's story, or maybe your struggles have been really different than hers. But I want to remind you of something that we say so often in our ministry at Harvest USA. We are a lot more alike than we are different. Though your own battles with sexual integrity or gender-related distress might feel like the thing that just looms largest in your life, I want to encourage you for right now to not be so focused on the fruit of your tree, your outward behavior. God cares about that. But in order to grow and change, your heart, your motives, your desires, and your thought life all need some attention, care, and help. It might feel like your Christian life would just be greatly improved if you could just end your sexual sin struggles. But let me offer you an idea to consider. What if God desires so much more than just to reform your outward behavior? What if he's offering you the gift of resting more deeply in him because he loves you? Now let's talk about our final key idea. How union with Christ is the foundation of our identity. Being united with Christ means that Christians are one with God because of what he has done for them. This connection or union is a gift from God. It is received by faith. It's a gift that believers don't earn through good works, nor do they inherit it from their parents or spiritual leaders in their lives. It is given freely by God's kindness. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So if you're a Christian today, despite how you may feel, from one day to the next, something has been fundamentally changed about you. You've been united to Christ. In a very real sense, It's not you living your life anymore, but Jesus in you as you live by faith. Now, there is definitely some mystery to this. It is a deep truth, but it changes everything about how we fight our sin, especially sexual sin. Why would I say this? Because if we're in eternal union with the triune God, this means that our identity is based on His perfect record, not on our changing behaviors and desires from one day to the next. What does this mean? It means union with Christ is your identity. And it also means your behavior, either good or bad, is no longer your identity. I want you to really think about that for a second. Every other role in your life is in some way defined by your behavior or something that you've done or not done. But the good news for Christians is that in union with Christ, we are freed from finding our identity in what we have or have not done. But instead, we're hidden in Christ, as Colossians 3:3 says. But there's another important concept to understand here, and that's called communion with God. Communion with God is how we relate to and feel God's presence in our lives and interact with Him through various means of experiencing His grace. Now, unlike our union with Christ, which does not change, our communion with God can grow and it can shrink. It can depend on our efforts or our lack of efforts. Sometimes we feel great joy in our connection with Christ, and other times we may just feel tired and discouraged. Even strong believers, mature believers, have times when they just find it hard to commune with God. So let me tell you a little story to illustrate this idea. A man has two daughters. One loves to sit on her dad's lap and read with him. She helps him with yard work. They go for long walks in the park. While the other daughter spends most of her time in her room with the door closed. She watches movies and scrolls on her phone most of the day. She rarely spends time with her dad, and she's actually started to think he doesn't really care much for her. Her past bad experiences have made it very hard for her to believe that her dad actually loves her. Though her dad always invites her to spend time with him, she usually says no. Are both of these girls his daughters? Are both in the family? Yes, absolutely. But one daughter knows her dad better, she enjoys his company, and she benefits from his advice, while the other is just missing out on the joy of that relationship. But here's the beautiful thing. Both are his daughters. Neither are going to be cast away, kicked out of the family. Both are dearly loved. This helps us understand the difference between union with Christ and communion with Christ. Now, that being said, all analogies break down, and this one's no exception, because the grace of God is so much better than any earthly father we could use as an illustration. This means that it is not all up to you to make sure that you get communion with Jesus right. Even if you struggle with reading the Bible or spending intentional time with Jesus, you are invited, you are welcomed to come to Jesus in prayer and ask for His help. So even when we struggle with communion with Jesus, He is ready, He's able, He's a helper working in us, that which is pleasing to Him. Growing in holiness and sexual integrity is not only about you stopping certain behaviors, though it's certainly not less than that, but it's also a process of you learning to pursue God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, seeking a deeper intimacy, a relational communion with God, the one who loves our souls, is a death blow to those pet sins that we nurture because only the Lord can provide the very satisfaction that we were longing for when we chose to pursue sin in the first place. God is truly better than anything we have found ourselves entangled in. So let me ask you, today, which identity looms larger for you? Your struggles with sexual sin? Or your identity as a loved daughter united to Jesus forever? If you are a Christian, this means your identity as a daughter united to Christ for all eternity is the most true identity you hold. It's your core eternal identity at the deepest level, and it cannot change. Because guess what? It's not based on you. It's based on the work of Jesus. To be honest, for me, it's been very difficult for me to really believe this about myself. But what about you? Do you struggle to believe that your union with Christ is the deepest, truest thing about you instead of your behavior? In the remaining sessions, we're going to take a deeper dive into the elements of the tree model to help you take a closer look at what's behind your sin struggles. Jesus is compassionate. He is gentle towards you as you're seeking to grow. Jesus is always for you. I'd encourage you to pause this video and just spend a couple minutes in prayer, maybe on your own or with somebody else who's watching this with you. Take a look at these prayer points to help guide you in this.
The following audio was taken from our brand new online course, Transforming Love: Women, Sexual Struggles, and Help in Christ. To register for free or learn more, visit harvestusa.org/courses. Again, that's harvestusa.org/courses. This link will also be provided in this episode's show notes.